Well, I wanted to say it was good to be here this morning. I walked in and Brother Shane jumped me and said I needed a better marker on the board to write with. Brother Josh said I was in his parking spot and I had to remind him that this is the Church of Christ. We found our own parking spot. And Sister Sally acted as she didn't know me this morning. But it's good to be back, brothers and sisters, in the house of the Lord, to sing praises unto him and to study another portion of God's holy and divine word. We're thankful this morning that God has spared our lives, that we can assemble ourselves this morning upon this Lord's day. You know, there's so many people that didn't live to see 2017. I witnessed a lot of people living up just before this new year came in and passed away. And the fact that we are still here is a testament to all of us that God's grace is still shining upon us. And let us not take this time for granted. If we are aware that God has blessed us abundantly, it is not for us to try to live without God. The Bible says the goodness of God brings all of us to repentance. And that's what his goodness is for. And I'd just like to share this morning from the Bible. My subject this morning is the test of love. And these passages of scripture, I'd like for us to come to the book of Matthew chapter 22. The book of Matthew chapter 22. And we'll read verse 34 through 40. I want us to notice what the Bible teach in these passages of scriptures. The Bible says, "But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, and saying, 'Master, which is the great commandment in the law?'" In verse 37, the Bible says, "And Jesus said unto him, 'Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, and with all of thy soul, and with all of thy mind.'" And the Bible teaches us in verse 38, said, "This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." In verse 40, the Bible says, "On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." On those two commandments, love God with all of our heart, all of our strength, all of our soul, and to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. Those two commandments the Bible teaches us hang under all the law of God. Those two commandments. And so this morning, what we want to look at this morning is, what is love and what love is not? Because we see that a lot of people violate these two commandments. And that's what we want to look at this morning in this lesson and the test of love. But before that we go any further into this lesson, we count this as a blessing as well as an opportunity to always to go to our Heavenly Father in spirit and in truth. So this time, let us humble ourselves as one has been selected to lead us in prayer. On those scriptures that I just read in the opening text, that the Bible hangs on those two scriptures, it's kind of hard for us to walk away from those two passages of scriptures without having the understanding that
Love is very important to God. When he tells us that we are to love him with all of our hearts and all of our might, all of our strength, all of our souls, all of our mind. That's how we are to love God. And so the second commandment is the same as to love thy neighbor as thyself. These two commandments hang in the whole law of God. And everything that we do, if we do not love, the Bible tells us that it is not sufficient. Love is very important with God, but we misuse this word love. In our families, in the church, because just saying I love you is not enough of what the Bible is teaching us. And a lot of young people get caught up in the misuse of this word love. Well, I just can't say just young people, a lot of older people as well. They get caught up with the misuse of this word love. I want us to notice some other passages of scriptures. While we're in the book of Matthew, I want just to go back to Matthew chapter 22. And we'll read at verse 15. I want to notice something here. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 15. The Bible says, then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him, speaking of Jesus, in his talk. The Bible says, and they sent out unto him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that thou art true and teachest the way of God in truth. Neither carest thou for any man, for thou regardest not the person of men. Now, the understanding of that scripture in these Herodians, they had their own disciples. The Pharisees were the one that taught the old law. They expounded in the law of Moses. And they had disciples that they were teaching the law also. And so they brought these Herodians before Jesus, and they asked Jesus this question. They called him Master. But as we studied the lesson, we know that that was just flattering words. They really didn't mean that he was their Savior. These were just words that they were using, flattering words. And the Bible tells us in these passages of Scripture, in Matthew chapter 22 and verse 16 says, and we know that thou art true and teachest the way of God in truth, so neither carest thou for any man. The better understanding of that scripture is that Jesus was not swayed by the opinion of men. You know, a lot of times we have a good opinion about things, and someone else come along and they mention something, we change our mind. Not Jesus. He wasn't swayed by the opinion of men. And neither were he a respecter of person. He looked at all of us the same, regardless what stature you may have in life. Jesus doesn't look at us as a respecter of person. That's what that scripture means, what he careth not for men. And the Bible tells us that in verse 17, he said, tell us therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? And Bible says in verse 18, said, but Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, why tempt or why test me? He said, ye hypocrites. And he says that, show me the tribute money. And they brought unto him a penny. And he said unto them, whose is this image and superscription? And they say unto him, Caesar's. Then said he unto them, Render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things which are God. And the Bible says in verse 22, when they had heard these words, they marveled and left him and went their way. You see, the Bible teaches us that they were trying to entangle Jesus in his talk. And they thought they had Jesus between a rock and a hard place when they asked him about paying tribute unto Caesar. If Jesus had said, no, you shouldn't pay tribute unto Caesar, they were going to take Jesus before the governors. If he said yes, then that would dim Jesus' popularity. So they thought they had Jesus between a rock and a hard place. But they didn't. They were trying to entangle him in their talk. I want us to notice another passage of Scripture. Come with me to the book of Mark, chapter 12. Mark chapter 12. We're going to notice something here. Mark 12 and verse 28. In Mark 12 and 28, the Bible says, and one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And the Bible says Jesus answered him and told them the same thing that he had said over in Matthew about the first of all. Say, hear, O Israel, that the first of all the commandment is to hear. That there's not but one God. And we're to love him with all of our heart, all of our might, all of our strength, and all of our soul. That is the first. And the second is lack. So, love thy neighbor as thyself. Same answer Jesus gave over in Matthew, he's giving here in Mark. I want us to notice. The Bible says in verse 31 of these same passages of Scriptures, he said, and the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And said, there is none other commandment greater than these. Just remember this. No other commandment is greater than the commandment of love. No other commandments. These two commandments hang in the law of God. Love God and love one another. Those two commandments. I want us to look at another passage of Scripture here. I want to look at the book of St. Luke, chapter 10. St. Luke, chapter 10. And I want us to look at, we'll start at verse 22. St. Luke, chapter 10, verse 22. This is Jesus' teaching. He said, All things are delivered to me by my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is, but the Father, and who the Father is, but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. Now, Jesus is the one that reveals the Father to us, the great God of heaven. It is Jesus that reveals him to us as human beings. Notice what the Bible teaches, verse 23. And the Bible says, and he turned unto his disciples and said privately. This is Jesus turning to his disciples. And he said to them privately. Notice what he said. He said, blessed are the eyes which see the thing that ye see. He said, for I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them. And to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. It's a blessing. It's a blessing for us as children of God
to be able to see what we see in God's word. And for us to hear the things that we hear coming from God. Brothers, sisters, and friends, this is a great time to be living on this side of the cross. Because the Bible teaches us that prophets and kings desired to see what we see and to hear what we hear. But you and I are hearing those things. And we're seeing those things in God's word. Truly, we have been blessed. And this is a great time to be living on this side of the cross. Now, I want us to notice in verse 25 in St. Luke chapter 10. The Bible says, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him," or tested Jesus, "saying, 'Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?'" And they were using these words, "master" and "teacher." And Jesus called them out because they were just flattering words. He said, "You hypocrites." And he perceived their wickedness and trying to entangle him. And the Bible says that in verse 26, said, "He said unto him," now Jesus, he asked Jesus the question, "What shall he do to inherit eternal life?" And the Bible says that Jesus said unto him, he said, "What is written in the law, and how readest thou?" I think that we, as Christians, sometimes we forget sometimes when people ask us different questions about the Bible. They just ask them a question. What we'll try to do, we'll try to answer every question someone asks us. We'll go on the defense and trying to defend the Word of God. But just sometimes just ask people their question. How do you understand it? Jesus asked them, said, "It is written in the law. You read it. How do you understand it?" Just ask them a question. Tell me about your understanding of the scriptures. And notice. Notice what the Bible teach. In verse 27, the Bible says, "And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart and with all of thy soul and with all of thy strength and with all of thy mind and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou answered right, this do, and thou shalt live." He answered Jesus right. Jesus didn't contradict what he said because he told the truth. He knew what the law taught. Love God with all of that heart, all of that might, and all of that strength. Jesus said, "You answered right. And do you not know that we have to believe and live? We have to obey and live. And we love God and we live. Those are the things that we have to do if we want eternal life." A lot back then, he asked a question because a lot of people didn't believe in the resurrection. He asked about eternal life, and Jesus told them, "These are the things that you do, and you live." But the Bible teaches us something, brothers and sisters, concerning the test of love. We want to look at the book of 1 Corinthians and look at a few passages of scripture there, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and see what the Bible teaches here. And what I want us to understand this morning is that there are only two love. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we will look at the ending of that chapter. But what I want us to understand is that the Bible calls us unto two love. One is agape love, godly love. We've been called unto that love. And this love, godly love, Greek word agape, is that always doing things best for us. God always does things for our best. That's his love for us. Now, a lot of times we might not understand it, but if we love God, it's always for our best. And it reminds me of Romans 8 and 28. This is my favorite scripture. It says that, for we know that all things work together to them that love God, that are called according to his purpose. So therefore, we know this. All things work to good. And I don't care what's going on in my life. I draw strength from that scripture. It may be something bad that's happening at the time, but I can look at that scripture because I know that I love God. So whatever it is, it's working out for my best. Because God always does things for our best. The Bible tells us also that he chastises those that he loves. Chastises. And sometimes that chastening is not good. Working out for our best. Yeah, I remember as a kid, develop a cold, and walking around and nose snotty, and my mother would call me to her with this tablespoon, a castor oil. She says, come here, take this. And let me tell you something, she had that belt beside her. And saying, you better not spit it out. You better not spit it out. Now, was she doing that to punish me or for my best? She loved me. And it was for my best. But at the time, I didn't like it. I still don't like castor oil today. But she was doing that for my best. God does things for our best, the godly love. And we have another Greek word called phileo, which is brotherly love, sisterly love. The Greek word phileo. This is the love that we have in bond and fellowship with each other. We sit down at the same table and we eat together. This is the brotherly love. We live in the same house. And we have this bond. A brother and sisters. That's phileo. But you know, the Greek came up with another love called eros. And we've seen this. This is with Cupid, with the arrow piercing the heart. And do you not know that this is the love that most people try to seek after, and it's a joke. It's not love. But this is the Greek intellect. They call it the romantic love. God never called us to romantic love. I haven't seen anything like that in the Bible. It's godly love and brotherly love. That's the love that God has called us to. But masses of people seeking after this romantic love, which is not love. And you hear some people say, well, you know what? I just get this queasy feeling in my stomach when she or he walk into the room. I don't know what that queasy feeling is, but I do know one thing, that is not love. And if you got that queasy feeling when that person walked into the room, you probably will never get that feeling again. Because that's not love. And you hear some people say that, well, I wouldn't have sex with anybody I didn't love. Brother and sister, let me tell you something this morning. Love is not sin. A lot of people commit sin because of the violation of this word love. They violate it. They commit fornication. They commit adultery. And they say it's love. That's not love. love is not sin. Let us bear that in mind this morning as we journey through this life. Love is not sin.
Want us to notice something this morning. As we look at the book of 1 Corinthians, I want us to look at, well, we're going to look at verse 12. We'll drop down to the last passage of the scriptures. Verse 1 Corinthians 12 and 12. The Bible says, "For as the body is one and have many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ." Now notice what it said in verse 13. "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, well, we have all been made to drink into one Spirit." So I think that we're all this morning of the understanding that there is not but one God, and there's not but one body, there's not but one Spirit. And we all have been baptized into one body by that one Spirit. I think that we all have come to that understanding this morning. But I want us to notice something else. As we drop down to the last passage of these scriptures, I want us to notice verse 27 as we go down into the book of Mark chapter 12. Look at verse 27. The Bible says, "Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. And God hath set some in the church." Now, that's what I want us to notice this morning. God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, and it says helps. And that word helps is deacons, elders. These are the people that God has set in the church to help. The ministry. Notice now, it says that then gifts of healing, helps, government, diversity of tongues. He says, ask the question, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? So having all the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? It says, but covet earnestly the best gifts. And yet I show unto you a more excellent way. God put all of these miraculous gifts into the church in order to grow the church. Cause people to believe. But all of those miraculous gifts into the church. And then as the church matured, God started to pull those miraculous gifts out of the church. As the church started to mature, because now we have the written word. And all those gifts God started to pull out. You know, I met a person not too long ago, and come to find out, this person was a preacher, as we got to talking. And so, he handed me his card. He had a business card he handed me, and I got his card and put it in my pocket and walked away. And so later on, you know, we do that sometimes when people hand us a business card, we don't look at it right away. We just put it away and look at it later on. So I pulled the card up and I looked at the card. And on this card, he had apostle. I mean, you tell me that I've been talking to an apostle? You know what an apostle is? An apostle, the qualification of an apostle? And I'm talking to an apostle in my day and time? An apostle is someone that have eyewitnessed Jesus Christ.
An apostle is someone that can raise the dead, lay hands on a person and heal a person, drink poisonous and not die. That's what an apostle is. You don't just go ahead on there and an apostle. And I tell you something else is a misuse of words. People use the word miracles. And miracles have been pulled out. There are no more miracles in our day and time. And we use this word a lot. You know, let me give you an example. A couple was traveling down I-4. Was hit head on by a semi, 18-wheeler. And all the people in there came out alive. That's a miracle. It was a miracle. That wasn't a miracle. If they came out alive, it was the grace of God. But it wasn't a miracle. You know, they even made a movie, Miracle on the Hudson. Some of y'all probably saw that movie or heard about it. How Sally landed this airplane on the Hudson. And all of those people in there came out alive. Said that was a miracle. That wasn't a miracle. You see, when Sally made a decision to land that airplane, traveling at that speed, if he had nosedived that plane, or the tail hit, or the wings went to the right or to the left, to hit that water at that speed, water would have been like ice. That plane would have tumbled and tumbled into pieces. But you know what? Sally laid that baby down just right. That wasn't a miracle. That was some good flying. Sally drew upon his flying experience to land that plane. But it wasn't a miracle. And this is a misuse of words that we use in our time. And that's what this lesson is all about this morning. Is that show that how people violate different words. But we just want to look at the test of love. Notice what the Apostle Paul says in the passage of Scripture. He said, covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show unto you a more excellent way. And that's what the Apostle Paul is teaching, that the miraculous gifts that God put in the church will be pulled out. They have been pulled out. But he tells us that there's a gift that we should covet. And notice what he says in verse 13. And this is a test of love. And I'd like for all of us this morning is just to take this test. Just take the test of love this morning, all of us, as we read these passages of Scripture. And wherever we see the word charity, let us put our name there. And we just do this test this morning. And see how we measure up against the word of God. Notice what Paul says. He said, though I speak with tongues and of men and angels and have not charity, he said, I am become as a sounding brass, a tinkling cymbal. Isn't that something? What he's saying is, if he had the ability to speak all the languages in this world and had not love, the only thing you're doing is just making a noise. That's all. You don't have love. What use would it be if we don't have love, if you had this ability and you could speak all these different languages and you don't have love? You're just walking around making noise. Notice what he says in verse 2. Though I had the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains. Now, I want us to put our name here where we see charity. And have not charity, I'm going to use my name. James, I'm nothing. If I had that ability that I could speak to a mountain, had that kind of faith, and a mountain would move. And James, you don't have love, you're nothing. Verse 3. And though I bestow all my goods and feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profits me nothing. If I made that sacrifice, giving my body to be burned, that's a sacrifice there. And James, you don't have love? Just put your name there where charity is. It profits you nothing for making that sacrifice. Notice, verse 4. James, charity is suffering long and is kind. James is kind. James, charity. James envied not. Charity vaunted not itself. Charity is not puffed up. Charity is not puffed up. Does not behave itself unseemly. James does not behave himself unseemly. You know, I'll tell you a quick story. This person I know was telling me a story about he and his wife. And they practice the Baptist religion. And he and his wife both were on the ERSHA board. And some of you don't know what that is. These are the people that, when you walk in the building, some of the women have white uniforms on, and the men have black suits, and they have white gloves on. And when you walk in the building, they're the one that escort you to your seat for you to sit down. I know that we don't have that in the Church of Christ. You got to find your own seat in the Church of Christ. You know, some of us got our favorite seats. You know, and we don't want to move sometimes when visitors come in. Because that's our favorite seat. But when the visitor come in, let us move over and let's let them in. But you see, this is what they did. They set people down. And he was telling me that when the service was over, he and his wife were on their way to their car, and they got into a big argument. And he said they were using some words that a sailor wouldn't use. And the person they had sat down saw them, and she was shocked that these two people that work in the ERSHA board was using this kind of language. In other words, they shocked her system. And that's what the Bible is mentioned about here. We don't behave unseemly. Love does not behave unseemly where we shock someone's system. That's what the Bible is talking about this morning. Notice something else. It says that seek it not her own. It's not easily provoked. Think it no evil. This is what love is. Rejoice is not in iniquity, but in rejoicing truth. You see, when someone else experiences a downfall in life, especially if they have done us wrong, we don't rejoice in that. We rejoice in truth, not rejoicing in seeing something bad that happened to someone. That's what love is, brothers and sisters. The Bible tells us in verse 7, says, bear it all things, believe it all things, hope it all things, endure it all things. It says, charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecy, they shall fail. Whether there be tongue, they shall cease. And whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Everything that you know this morning, and I know we got some smart people in this morning, but you think about this. Everything that you know will one day be gone, vanish away. Everything. Regardless how smart you may be, one day it will vanish away. But the Bible tells us that love will always be there.
I want to end with these passages of scriptures. In verse 9, it says, "For we know in part, now we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away." And that's what the Apostle Paul was talking about. All those gifts that God put in the church. Now that we know the perfect one has come, those things in part, they're now pulled away. And you know what the Bible tells us? In the book of Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, the Apostle Paul says, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." The book of Acts 20 and verse 27. Do we know what that scripture means? It means that everything that we need to know to get us from earth to where God is, the Apostle Paul said he told us. He held nothing back. This is the test of love this morning. Hopefully something was said from these scriptures this morning that will be helpful and instrumental in the stirring up of our pure minds. It will just cause us just to think as we journey through this life. The Bible teaches us that God has given us a way, if we have been separated from him, to come back to him. And that is his perfect plan of salvation. We are to hear his word. We are to believe it. We are to repent. And we are to make the good confession. And we are to be baptized. And that way then we can come back to God and walk in the newness of life. Then when we stumble and we fall and make mistakes, we can repent of those sins. And we have sinned the sin that have shamed the body of Christ. We come before our sisters and brothers, and we ask the church to forgive us, that we might be restored back into the fellowship once again. So while we stand this morning and sing the chosen song, if we are subject to the gospel in any manner, we may make the good confession.